Good morning, family. So, this morning, while I was at camp, I just had this idea for a lesson that I was like, I know what I'm going to preach on Sunday. I know what I'm going to preach on Sunday. And then your amount of free time at camp is like zero. So if you're expecting some really fancy graphics, I wanted to show you some more pictures, though, because, man, camp is awesome. This was at the worship night, and, yeah, the kids, they did a whole evening of just praise and worship songs, and it was just so encouraging to sing with them, and I was off to the side, obviously. I was like the Connor of that night. I was just doing the lyric, like, making sure the lyrics were on. But there were literal times where I was just like weeping off to the side, watching the kids like actually connect with what they were saying about God and just to watch them. And I was just like in awe. And then these were my coworkers. These were the counselors and some of the directors. And this was a cool group of people. Emotions ran high that week, and some of the counselors, we had a little pull aside. Half of us would pull aside every day to kind of check in with the program directors, and they'd be like, "How you doing?" And sometimes people would just be like, "I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired, and these kids don't respect me." But man, it was so rewarding. I'm going to tell you a little story about one of the guys in my cabin in a little bit. The title of my lesson is "Leave It and Receive It." You may have heard the phrase in the religious world, "Believe it and receive it," which I do not like. And you may have heard me preach about it and against it, the prosperity gospel. You may have heard me preach about it and against it more than once. But this idea of just, you know, now we call it like manifesting what you want into the world. Like just believe it and receive it. And yet the Bible talks about something very different. And we're going to discuss that this morning. And this actually came up in one of the lessons at camp this week. And I got a chance to discuss it with my cabin, and it was a really amazing discussion. And so I was like, man, this is what I want to bring before my church to this Sunday. It comes from a discussion. It starts with a very common story that everybody knows if you've read through the Gospels, and then it goes to a thing that almost everybody knows, but I just want us to break it down and go through it step by step, okay? First, it starts with a rich man. There's a rich man that comes to Jesus, and Jesus tells him to sell everything and give to the poor. And the rich man can't do it. And then this is what Jesus says. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." And I just want to stop right there, because when I look around our modern world, on our modern America, and even our modern Grand Rapids, Michigan, this sentence from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, makes no sense to me. because it looks like it's very easy to enter the kingdom of God. Everybody can get in. This is easy. Jesus was wrong. But the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up. "We have left everything to follow you." This is what we're going to look at today. "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." So Jesus is talking about leaving things and then receiving things. He is not talking about believing things and receiving things. And so I want to tell you a story. Gosh, I don't know why I'm already getting emotional. This is Parker in the red shirt. Parker, I had him in my cabin like 8 years ago at Discover Camp. He doesn't even remember me. I had every kid at camp I had when they were like 10 years old, and none of them remembered me. One kid remembered me as we were leaving. He remembered that I would volunteer to run around and get shot at paintball. He's like, "I shot you in the ear at paintball." I was like, "Yes, that was me. I laid my life on the line for you guys." But yes, Parker is an amazing kid. He is a special needs kid, but he didn't have an aide. An aide is kind of like a parapro where it's someone who is just assigned to him. And he's like, "No, that I don't. We don't think that would help. That would actually make it worse." Like, he just wants to feel like he's just one of the other boys. And I was like, 100% agree. And so he was in my cabin, but he did take a lot of energy and time and attention. And I absolutely loved this kid with my whole heart. And there was a time where he just like lost, like he just totally crashed, and he was super emotional, and he was like we found out he wasn't like, he was super dehydrated, and he was like he couldn't stand up, and he was like having a hard time. He wasn't eating. And it was after this lesson where this verse was shared, and so this was like top of mind. And we're going out to the thing. And I had tried to, like, you know, I'm trying to keep boundaries, professional. I don't want a counselor at a church camp, like, no weirdness. But at a time, I was like, I would try to, like, give him a pat on the back, or, and he would maybe, like, shy away from me at times. And then there's just one time where he was just, like, breaking down. And I just kind of put my arm around him. And he just broke down, and he was like, "Will you give me a hug?" And I was like, "Of course." And he just like collapsed into my arms. And I just said, "Hey, man, do you know that verse we just read about if you give up mother, brother, sister, home, field for the gospel, you'll get those?" I was like, "You gave up your mom and dad to come here. And you got me and Carter, your counselor. And I want you to trust that I love you. And I gave up my son, Everett, to come here. Now look at all the kids I got." Like, that's like actively leaving and receiving. And I want you to know, like, that's real. Like, that's, like, God is not just, it's not just a one time, like, become a Christian and go to heaven. Like, God is doing this. And it was an amazing, it was a beautiful thing that Parker kind of like came alive, and he was like, he felt so much better. And I recruited all the boys in our cabin. I was like, hey man, when you see Parker, like, say, hey, I heard you weren't feeling good. I hope you feel better. And they all did it. They didn't think, well, that sounds dumb. I don't want to do that. They all did it. And so what I want to talk about this morning is this idea of leaving behind. Point number one is just leaving behind. Point number two is for the gospel. Point number three is receiving. And what does that look like in our lives? Because we can fall into this idea of like, oh, it's about salvation. Like, you give up your sin and you get heaven someday. And guys, I'm just telling you, it's way, way more than that. So Peter spoke up and he said, we left everything to join you. And he says, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about, is leaving. I'm glad you mentioned that, Peter. Let's talk about leaving home and brothers and sisters and mother or father or children or fields. Because we're talking about a culture where what Jesus just listed was your everything. I mean, you leave your family, your identity, your inheritance, your way of life, your security, your everything. For someone to go out on their own usually was like either a punishment, like a banishment, or like a form of like complete rebellion, or like, I'm going to plant my stake in something. Something like, I think I can make it on my own. Like, I'm gonna break some Torah laws here and make some money in some ways that my family would probably like tell me not to do. But I'm gonna make it on my own. And Jesus is like, what we're doing here is you're going to have to learn how to leave stuff and follow me for the gospel. And then on the other side of leaving, on the other side of sacrifice, on the other side of surrender, I'm going to fill your life up. But do you believe that? Do you trust that on the other side of sacrifice, on the other side of surrender is a full life? Because in our way of thinking, we go, I am in control of my life. I will be the one to determine my steps. I will be in control. And so part of leaving behind is about surrender. And the Hebrew writer, obviously a lot of people think about Abraham, and Abraham is a perfect example of someone who he was told to go and he went. But I love in Hebrews 11 when it talks about Moses, because he had it all in Egypt. He could have stayed and just lived the best life in Egypt. But it talks about Moses. When he grew up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And when we leave things, there's an invisibility to what we will receive. If it were purely like, if I do this, you'll give me this, right? And that's not the way it works. I think about the things that some of you sitting in this room have left, not knowing what you would get. Like, we went to the Dominican Republic with the Ortegas, and I saw what they left, and it was beautiful. Their friendships and the church that they had built there and the relationships. I gotta tell you, Francisco Ortega is a rock star in Santo Domingo. Every time he walks in the door, we should be applauding him. I got video of him walking down the aisle at Men's Midweek, and he was just like, everyone was like, Francisco, Francisco. I was like, who is this guy? This guy's amazing. And they left that to come to Fremont, Michigan, and live in the middle of nowhere. What they were receiving was invisible. And they and the journey, like that wilderness journey of living in Fremont, and then like, and then Josue moved down. And then they were like, we should move to Grand Rapids so we can be closer. Like that journey. And then the job stuff. Like, guys, that took surrender and sacrifice. It was an invisible. Think about the Wilsons. Like, when they were like, hey, we're going to retire, everybody wanted the Wilsons. And I think about Kelly was like, hey, you could move to Florida and be with me. Guys, what they gave up. And I think about all, like, Gase and Chantel, they moved here to start a business. Invisible. There's no safety net. Like, guys, like, we need to appreciate what, like, John, coming from Colombia. I think about at their wedding and getting to see, having his dad in my home, it moved me to tears. I was like, I remember a time when I thought, like, there's no way his dad would ever sit in my house. And then to have his dad in my home made me so, like, overwhelmed. And I was like, I can't believe that life is working out this way. Like, but the reward is invisible. What you receive is invisible. And we're going to get to that more. But I'm saying, but you make the choice to leave things behind not knowing. And I could go on and on and on. We've all left things. And you leave a life of sin behind, not knowing how God, Jesus will fill you. And I have these two questions. One, what have I left? I need us to always be aware. Like, these are the things. Oh, you know what? I forgot to mention. Guys, and I'm not saying this out of any selfish motivation, but I have to say it. Jen was born and was brought home to a home. And then she grew up in that home. And then we bought that home. And when my kids were born, we brought them home to the exact same home. And then we sold that home and we moved here. And she gave up her family home to come to Grand Rapids. And it was a loss. It was a loss. And she, but the home that we've built here, that was an invisible, like, gift from the Lord. And so there are stories of things being left for Jesus. And so but you need to remember, and it's not like a record of wrongs against the church. Like, oh, I did this because of someone told me to stop doing this or that. That's not what we're talking about. It's a thing of, like, I have a personal account of how much I have trusted God. And if this goes long, I'm so sorry. If I have a record of my surrender to how much God is going to provide for me. What have I left? But then you have to remember that this is still happening to this day. What am I leaving now? You need to be aware, if you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ, the cost of discipleship is everything. Discipleship is the free gift that costs everything. The cost of discipleship is not leaving a thing or some things. It's everything. And everyone left something when they made Jesus Lord of their life. But as life goes on, a life of lordship to Jesus means we are continually understanding that we are leaving. We're always leaving things. Because that's what service to others looks like. We're leaving comfort. Like the example of going to camp. If we have a service project coming up, we're saying, hey, we're going to do whatever it is, kids' food basket. You got to leave your bed at an early hour of the morning. You got to put a hairnet on to chop some celery and put them in little baggies. And for some of you, that's just too high a cost to count. We don't just reminisce about sacrifices of yesteryear. We live sacrificial lives. Because how in the world are we supposed to tell someone how to sacrifice if we don't show them what sacrifice looks like? We sacrifice. Point number two is this: for me in the gospel, this is all about our motivation. Why are we leaving things? It's easy to talk about leaving and receiving if it can be purely selfish, if it can be for fortune and glory, like Han Solo used to say. But Jesus said, no one who has left will fail to receive, but then he squeezes this thing in here. It's a little fine print right in the middle. For me in the gospel, it's the why. Sometimes we can see, give one, get 100, and we're like, I'm sold. Can I give you a dollar right now? Get a dollar. Get $100. But we forget that Jesus makes sure to mention that our motivation needs to be correct. We need to move forward in this promise that Jesus is establishing. We need to move forward in this promise with the right heart. And that, because that's what Jesus cares most about. You could try to live this out with purely selfish motivation, with purely selfish ambition, with purely like, hey, everybody, look at me. Look how spiritual I am. And what's that? That's Ananias and Sapphira. Remember? We preached on that. Like, look at how spiritual I am. And Jesus is like, it won't work. That's first will be last and last will be first. Over in Luke, this is interesting. Jesus says, sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. A lot of us know this verse. But the idea of wearing yourself out for treasure. In our culture, plenty of people will sacrifice. John and I always talk about grind set mindset. If you're on Instagram or TikTok or any social media, you can get sucked down into your feed, can become just an endless stream of like, you know, do this and you'll 10x your income stream and you'll have multi-revenues of like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. If I can get rich here, then I will go to great lengths. Sure, I'll leave friends and family. No sweat. All I got to do is focus on this, whatever it is, and just stop talking to all my friends from my past, and it'll guarantee I'm going to get rich. I don't care about them anyway. Is that the same as what Jesus was saying about leaving? No. We will leave friends and family. We will destroy our health. We will destroy marriages. We will neglect our kids. we will practically kill ourselves for more zeros on a screen somewhere. And yet, as soon as someone says, hey, maybe you should prioritize your relationship with God, surround yourself with people that'll help you be more like Jesus, then we're like, whoa, that sounds controlling. Whoa, what are you saying? That's way too much. But if you destroy your family for money, that's completely normal. So sacrifice is not Jesus' point in the whole leaving and receiving. Sacrifice alone in a vacuum is not what Jesus is talking about. Because he says, leaving for me and the gospel, and you will receive. And this is where I think we can kind of get this whole thing a little twisted. It's like, well, how do I know if I'm sacrificing for the right reason? And I think we sacrifice for treasure here a lot. We sacrifice for comfort here. We sacrifice for security here. We all make sacrifices. But what are we sacrificing for? And so I think a good thing is, like, am I surrounding myself with people that will help me be more like Jesus? Am I surrounding myself with people that will help me be more humble? Am I surrounding myself with people that will help me be more biblically grounded? Am I surrounding myself with people that will help me understand my own flesh better? But we have to make sure that we're keeping Jesus and the gospel at the center of our motivation. It's like the fulcrum on which all this pivots. And when we find that we're making decisions based on just comfort here, then this whole, we hope to receive blessings from the Lord. That's like what James says. It's like, well, when you ask with wrong motives. Why do you think you're going to get anything that way? And so let's talk about receiving. This is how we go about accepting God's promises. So leaving for the gospel, receiving. This is what Jesus said. If you leave anyone who's left for me in the gospel, they will not fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come. And what we do is we read this and we go, not fail to receive, sweet, give it to me. Give it to me now. God, I ask nicely, give it to me now. God, I'm going to use my dad voice. 1, 2, 2.5, 3. Okay, I'm going to take it. I demand it. After a while, our patience with God runs out, and we decide to take it my way in my time. God, you took too long. I'm done waiting. Never mind. I'll do it myself. And this idea of receiving, it takes a lot of humility. Can we be humble and wait to receive what God wants to give us? Or are we in the position where we're like, you know what? I think I'm just going to make my way. And I'll just take it for myself. In Matthew 7, it's the ask, seek, knock. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This idea of a father and a child and giving good gifts is so beautiful, because my children have asked me for things, whether it be gifts or fruit snacks, for their entire life. And there's times when they ask me for something and I say, definitely, I will give you that at the appropriate time. And then they have to wait. And when they don't wait, when they just decide to get it on their own, there's usually some sort of consequences for that. And I think, I may have mentioned this once, but there's this very interesting theology about Adam and Eve in the garden and what was the sin. And it's not that it was the fruit, there was some fruit and it was this is sin. It was that God wanted to teach them how to run the whole earth with, wow, filling it up with people. Hey, I'm going to have to teach you how to do that. And that's going to take a lot of time. But they decided to just take the knowledge of all good and bad for themselves. I'm tired of waiting. I don't want to receive wisdom from God. I just want to take it. It was the taking. And when humans take, bad things happen. When a young man is tired of waiting for his bride, and he says, you know what? We don't have to wait. I'm just going to take you. When a young woman says, oh, I'm tired of waiting to find a godly husband. I'm just going to go find the first guy I can find. Bad things happen. And God, Jesus promises, I want to fill your life with so many good things, but are you willing to receive it? Or all of humanity throughout all of human history, do we just take it, just snatch it from me? And so my question for us this morning is, am I waiting to receive or am I taking? I would encourage all of us, just have conversations with each other and even come to me and Jen or to someone you trust and say, man, here's a very specific conversation I would have. Here is something I feel like I have left and I'm waiting to receive. But you got to be prepared for the discipling. We have to talk about this. Am I patiently waiting for God to give me life's blessing, or am I taking them by force when I decide I deserve them? And I used relationships as an example because I think that's probably the thing I've seen the most in my time as a disciple, is that the number of people that have just said, well, this is what I want, so this is what I'm going to do. And they just do it. But a lot of big things that people decide to do, whether it's jobs or moves or it's just I've decided and this is what I'm doing. And I just imagine what was the 100 times the brothers and sisters that God had waiting for you somewhere that maybe you missed out on because you didn't receive that blessing? And so here's my prayer for us this morning. My prayer is that we can be, I know we're just a small group, I love us so much. My prayer is that we can be the kind of group that forms such strong bonds that when we feel like a prompting of the Holy Spirit, we talk to one another and we say, I feel like God is telling me I need to leave this behind. And we tell each other I'm here with you because I'm your brother or sister. And then when we feel that loss, because remember, it's invisible. The blessing is invisible. Then you're not alone through that. And we remind each other, it's for Jesus and the gospel. It's for Jesus and the gospel. And then on the other side, we're like, man, let's rejoice in the blessings that God is giving us, because we're not taking them. We're not taking our life into our own hands. We're still surrendered. We're still totally trusting in God's providence. And then we can rejoice when we look back and say, look what God has done in our lives. We are not trying to build this ourselves, but we are just marveling at the ways that God has constructed this miracle amongst us. Amen? Guys, I'm so grateful for you. I'm so glad I'm back from camp. And at this time, Jen is going to do our communion. Come on up, Jen.